Thank you. Good morning. We're going to go ahead and get started. I want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. A beautiful day today. Glad you're able to come be with us here this morning. Want to continue, Lord willing, on guaranteed spiritual growth this morning here in Sunday school. Finish up what I did a couple weeks ago. The message Peter gave us pretty much is where we're at. But before we do so, as we like to do, take prayer requests and go to the Lord in prayer. So has anybody got a spoken prayer request at this time? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Amen. Terry? Bless your heart, brother. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Teresa? Oh my, absolutely. Amen. 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 Somebody else? Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone else? James? Yes. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Y'all continue to remember Tara's mother in prayer, where she had her lobe of her lung removed. Tara was talking to her yesterday, and she's starting to have a little bit more pain. So wish you'd remember her in prayer. We're going to visit her, Lord willing, after service today and everything like that. Tara's been taking her food and stuff like that, but she requested, she was doing pretty good, and I'm still not saying she's doing bad, I don't want you to think that, but she put in a request for some roasted potatoes, you know, early last week, and Tara took her some up, but here the last couple of days, she's told Tara that she's starting to hurt a little bit, and she usually don't say that unless she's really bothered, so I'd appreciate you praying for her. Somebody else? Anybody at all? Or spoken? Okay. Let's all stand at our feet. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray for the service, obviously, Sister Kathleen as well. Terry, you care to lead us, brother. Amen. Amen. This is one of my favorite services every year when Sister Kathleen comes. Last year, me and Tara was talking a couple weeks ago. Last year, I wasn't able to be here. I was preaching elsewhere. I had a preaching appointment elsewhere on the Sunday she came, so I haven't seen her in a couple years. So looking forward to hearing that this morning. Also, if you don't have anything to do, I'll be preaching tonight at Claypool Community Church down here. You're invited to come. I told Dave, where Sally Klein had passed away. They had scheduled me a while back, and then obviously Sally passed away. I didn't know until kind of late yesterday, to be honest with you, they was going to have services and stuff. And her services are Monday and Tuesday, and the family wanted to have Sunday services. So they'll be there this morning, and I'll be preaching tonight. So if you want to, come on up, 7 o'clock, Claypool. Also, I want to thank God this morning before we get started. As most of y'all know, you've probably seen on Facebook, only put it on there to give God the praise. Wyatt was in an accident, car wreck, at the Myrtle Mart, Mingo County. He was going to 119 toward Williamson, and somebody pulled right out at that gas station at Myrtle. And guy was in a F-150 with an empty trailer. So basically, took the whole road, you know, both lanes, so to speak, and Wyatt tried to swerve over and miss him, but he basically T-boned the guy. But being F-150 and Wyatt's little car, Wyatt's car got the worst of it, obviously. I'm pretty sure it's totaled, but he's fine. And that's what I thank God for. I thank God for that. I truly do. He slept in his bed that night. You know, we took him to the hospital and got him checked out and everything, but he slept in his own bed that night. And we had discussion Wednesday, Sister Kathleen, Wednesday night, empowerment session here about the power of prayer. Yeah. And one of the specific things we talked about was praying a hedge of protection around our families. And I told you guys that I pray every morning the Lord give his angels charge concerning this. And I mentioned every single member of my family go by name. And Z, I know that he was with him. I know he was with him. I know that. And it's not the first time. But I wanna take time to thank him this morning. I praise him. That when we're not even there, he's still there. I thank God this morning. Because it could have been so much worse. You know, we got the phone call. We had the grandbabies and we took them to Chief Logan. And they was playing on the swings and all that. And she called, or Wyatt had called Tara's phone. And she only had like one bar. She got the phone call, but she couldn't talk to him. And then, you know, as a parent, you're like, oh, man, what's, you know, they don't usually call anymore. They text. You know what I mean? And then he tried to call again. And same thing. And I tried to call him, and it rung through, but it, same thing on my end. So I began to walk through the thing trying to get more of a service, and I held it up, and you know, and he told me, and we rushed to the scene, obviously, and we pulled up, and Tara just began to really panic, you know, when she seen the car, but God, and I just thank God this morning. I do. I told Wyatt, I said, listen, bub, I said, a car can be replaced, you can't be. So I thank God this morning as I stand in front of you that it's ironic that we talked about it on Wednesday night, but then we see it on Friday. And I thank God for that. I thank God for who he is in my life. I thank God for every prayer I've ever prayed. I thank God for the Holy Spirit that, you know what? If we'll listen to him, he'll tell us what to pray for. And I thank God for that. I was blessed on Friday. Yes, it was bad, but we were blessed. We were blessed, and I thank God for that this morning. But if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and pick back up in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 is where I'm going to eventually get to it, but I'm going to have to kind of set a little bit of background, just a hair, or you know, we're not going to be able to flow very well into it. 1 Peter chapter 2 is where I'll end up being this morning. But we're talking about how can you have guaranteed spiritual growth. And a couple weeks ago, as we went started down this path, we talked about the Apostle Peter, who every single one of us can readily admit and accept played a vital part in the early church. The Apostle Peter was one of the leaders of the apostles. We know the things in his life. Peter had extreme highs and he had many lows as well. We know he's the one that denied Jesus. But we also know he's the one that was one of the first ones at the tomb the morning of the resurrection and witnessed the empty tomb. We know that he walked on water, pretty big thing, but we also know that he sunk, you know, another thing. We know that he was one of them that Jesus chose for the Mount of Transfiguration, which to me would have been an amazing thing to behold. But we also know that he couldn't stay awake and pray a little bit when Jesus took him to the Garden of Gethsemane as well. He failed a little bit. So Peter, just like us, goes through highs and goes through lows, goes through highs and goes through lows. But when the Holy Spirit comes on him in the day of Pentecost, he preaches and 3,000 people get saved. Amen? So God used him in amazing ways. We also know that the Holy Spirit, I don't ever want to say Peter healed somebody, because Peter didn't heal nobody. The Lord healed him, but we know that it got so. The Lord used him in such a way that the people was bringing him out so that the shadow of Peter, they would be healed. So in other words, it's pretty easy to establish that if Peter says something, we need to pay attention. Okay? So that's kind of what God is. And the last thing Peter says in 2 Peter, the very last verse he says, is that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in other words, one of the most important things that the Apostle Peter left us by the unctioning of the Holy Spirit was that we should grow in grace and knowledge. So in other words, we're not supposed to stay where we are. If you're where you are, if you are where you were 1 year ago, you've done something wrong. I'll tell you. Same here. Growth should be natural. And if you are in the same spot now than you were a year ago, then you need to change something up. It's that simple. In other words, Bubby, if you were planting a garden and you planted something and didn't do good, are you going to do the same thing next year? You should change it up a little bit. Maybe move the tomatoes over here. Maybe do something, you know, maybe go with a different fertilizer, whatever it is. Maybe you didn't pluck the weeds like you should have. Maybe you need to start a little earlier or a little later. Whatever it is, you need to do it. But you've got to change it. So each of us have a responsibility to look, and as the old timers, as we shared, I love some of the old timers. I remember them. That Kathleen, they'd ask, son, have you took inventory? Have you took inventory? And I think we would be well served if we took inventory more. And so when it comes to growth, when it comes to where am I now in the Lord as opposed to 6 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, whatever it is, take inventory. Take inventory. Okay? If you're in retail, you don't know what you have on the shelf unless you take inventory. You don't know if somebody's stealing from you unless you take inventory. You don't know if somebody is misplacing things or stocking them in the wrong area unless you take inventory. So each of us have a responsibility in ourselves, ready for this. We'll pray, God, let me grow. The God card, I call it. Let God do everything and us do nothing. God, let me grow. What are you doing? What am I doing? Okay? God has placed people in our lives, pastors and stuff like that, to help us, the word being preached, evangelists, the fivefold ministry, all those things. God's placed something in you called the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He'll lead you and guide you, and if you'll listen to Him. But if we just don't do nothing, Pearl, who do we have to blame? Is it God's fault? It's our fault. So if we'll take inventory, and I think that's where it starts with. You've got to take inventory, folks. I'll just be honest with you. That's what I believe. You need to take inventory. And if we take inventory and go, you know what? I don't feel like I'm as close as I used to be. I don't believe I'm really getting in the Word like I should. Or my prayer life ain't what it used to be. Then we need to change something, Terry. We need to do something different. But the Apostle Peter told us that we should grow in grace and knowledge. And I think it's interesting that he first said grace before he said knowledge. So in other words, as we shared a couple weeks ago, the only way that we can grow in grace is if we extend grace. Amen? How do you grow in grace? Well, the closer we get to Jesus, I'll be honest with you, the more time I spend with Jesus, the more I act like Jesus, Teresa. The more time away from Jesus, then I start acting like the world. Amen? You're going to act like who you hang out with, folks. That's just the truth, okay? And the more time we spend with Jesus, you ready for this? We'll find the more we act like Jesus, okay? And Jesus extended grace in bunches, okay? Jesus, and the good thing about Jesus, unlike human beings, he wasn't selective who he gave grace to. I'll give grace to this neighbor, but not that neighbor. I'll give grace to this family member, but not that family member. I'll give grace to this person in the grocery store, but that one over there that cut me off, I ain't going to give them no grace. Okay? But if we spend time with Jesus, we will find ourselves being more like Jesus, and we're able to extend grace. Amen? How many people remember when they first got saved? You might have had people that you... Before that service or whatever that moment was that you come to Jesus, a revival, an old-fashioned altar, evangelist preaching, whatever it was, you might have been invited by a friend to come to church, and there might have been, you might have had a list as long as your arm of people you didn't like. There might have been some you absolutely hated. But that night you gave your life to the Lord, you loved every one of them. Why grace? You experienced the grace of God. He forgave us, so guess what? We can now forgive other people. Amen? But the only way we're going to grow in grace is if we extend grace. Amen? So if the more we begin to extend grace, the more we're going to grow in Christ. It's that simple. And the only way we can do that, the only way we can extend grace, as we've shared, is a pretty simple method, and it's put them before me. Preferring your brother before yourself. Dying out to self. Amen? Because we as human beings, whether we want to admit it or not, in the flesh, we as human beings are an I, me creature. Okay? And that's after the workings of the enemy. I will ascend up. I will be like the Most High. Isaiah 14. But Jesus goes into the garden and he prays, Lord, or Father, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thy will be done. So Jesus righted the wrong from Isaiah 14 by his own actions, and he says, what we should do, Leanne, is prefer our brother before ourselves. And if we'll do that, guess what? He'll take care of us too. That's who he is. But we are to grow in grace and knowledge. Now, if we're getting the grace in line, if we're extending the grace, we're doing what we're supposed to do, and then it gets to the knowledge part. Okay? How many people love revelation from the Lord? Fresh revelation. I do. It's something I live for, whether it comes in a preached word or study in the scripture. I love that when the Lord brings it out, Vicki. I love that. Or a podcast or whatever, you know, you just hear some fresh revelation. You're like, oh, man, I hadn't even thought that. And it may apply to stuff you've been studying on or whatever. I love when God gives us fresh revelation or knowledge like that, okay? But the only way that comes is if we're ready seeking it. We got to be seeking it. We got to desire that of the Lord. We got to want to know of his ways. We want to seek him, amen? And so, as we begin to do these things, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us the next step of that about growing in grace and knowledge is for us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if we're growing in grace and knowledge, okay, without even realizing it, as a young Christian, okay, because if you just gave your life to the Lord, you're just trying to do what you're supposed to do, Vic. You're just coming to church, you're reading your Bible, you're worshiping the Lord, you're growing, you're getting stronger. You're still on milk, and there's nothing wrong with that, okay? Luke and Lucy, when our grandbabies, when they were first born, Luke, over in the NICU, he never asked for a ribeye or a T-bone steak, Jeremiah. He had to have milk, amen? Every baby has to have milk. There's nothing wrong. Everybody starts on milk. Amen. Everybody's got to start. It's necessary. God created us that way. But if we're doing those things, we're doing good, okay? But we're actually being transformed daily from the inside out. To be conformed is from the outside in. To be transformed is from the inside out. Amen. So the next thing is we begin to extend grace and we're growing in knowledge and stuff. We are being transformed, not conformed. Amen. And the world wants to conform you to their image. The world wants you to go with the flow. Okay? We just got off the summer of prophecy, and as many of you folks know, we talked about the book of Revelation, we talked about the rapture, we talked about all those things. There's coming a time when everybody on this planet just about is going to conform to the rich or the desires of the Antichrist. They're going to be conformed. They're going to take the mark of the beast. They're going to receive, they're going to worship him as God. They're going to be conformed. Whether they want to or not, the pressures are going to be there, and they're going to conform to that. Okay? The Bible says we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed from the inside out. So in other words, I don't have to accept sin and call it good stuff. Amen? Just because the Supreme Court may say this, the Word of God says that, and I'm going to go with what the Word of God says, Kathleen. Does that mean I don't love nobody? No, it don't have anything to do with love. That's got to do with God's Word. Okay? We got to get to the point where we refuse to be conformed to this world. But we're choosing the path of Christ, okay? And I truly believe this, folks. Listen. Do I believe there'll be... this is a debatable thought. I know some people that believe that there's going to be a great revival before the Lord comes back. Okay? I know that, and that's possible. God, in all his infinite wisdom, I know he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh and sons and daughters. I know that. But Jesus also said it would be as the day of Noah and the days of Lot. And boys, Noah preached a long time. And ain't nobody got saved. Right? Okay? And we know eventually that the falling away will come. We do know that. And look, I think some people take liberties with that scripture and run with it how they want to. The final apostasy will come where they will fall away from the truth. I believe that's what that scripture talking about. But we do have a slide of morals right now in the world where they're accepting lies. So we are already in the middle of a falling away that will eventually lead to the great falling away. Amen? That being said, Terry, people have no problem in the flesh being conformed to the ways of the world. Do you have a phone? You have a phone? Okay, you got a phone. Most people have a phone, okay? Why do you have a phone? Everybody else does. Does that make you bad? No. No. That's just the way it is now, right, Vicki? Everybody's got a phone. You know? I remember when I still got my first phone. I didn't always have a phone on me. Believe it or not, I was from a time where one was hung on the wall. And you had that big old long tether. That big old cord that you stretched all the way through the house. Oh, and as you was doing it, you was doing this. Getting it untangled to get it a little further, right? But we've all been conformed to that. Not that it's bad, I'm not saying that. But it's easy to be conformed to things. It's just normal. Okay, you accept it. It becomes normal. Okay? If you ain't careful, the world will conform you to their normal. And we're never intended to be like the world. We're to be a peculiar people. Called out to be peculiar. We're different people. Why? Because Jesus lives inside of you. Amen? But the Bible says not to be conformed, but to be transformed. And now that gets us to, is where I ask you to turn to in 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 through 3, it says this. Now, keep in mind, we're growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay? Growing in grace, you're extending grace. In knowledge, you better be picking up the Bible, folks. If you're going to grow in knowledge, you better study the Word a little bit. Amen? So, if we want a guaranteed spiritual growth, we're going to extend grace, and we're going to get our nose in the Bible. Okay? There we go. And all the while, we're being transformed from the inside out, not conformed to what the world looks like. Okay? There's a change happening. There's a natural process. Now, ready for this? Now, we got some other stuff we got to do. If we want really growth, now we're growing in grace. We're growing in knowledge. We're reading the Word. We're doing those things. We're doing what we're supposed to do. We're being transformed. If you're being transformed, there's fruit on the tree. Okay? If you're being transformed, nobody's going to have to make you come to church. You're going to want to come to church. You're being transformed, amen? But ready for this? Now here's some stuff we got to do. In 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now ready for this? You can be seated. Thank you. God bless you. So we're growing in grace and knowledge. We've got our word, or we're reading the word, we're studying scripture, we're praising, we're worshiping, we're coming to church, we're doing all this because we're being transformed inside out. Now, ready for this? If you're doing those things, it shouldn't be hard to do this. But you can't do those things and not do this. You are required to lay aside all malice. Now, let me say that again. This is KJV. You are required. It's not a suggestion. Okay? Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. That is not a suggestion. That's a requirement. Okay? If you want to go to heaven, you're going to be holy. Oh, gosh. I can't believe you said that, preacher. Well, you are. Flesh and blood can't inherit that place. Ain't that what the Bible says? I'm one of those people that believe. I'm one of those old school people. Oh, you must be so strict.
I just take the Bible for face value. I'm one of those people who believes if you don't have a sin under the blood, you're gonna miss it. I believe that, folks. I believe that. I believe it totally. I believe when Jesus saves us and he forgives us, he washes away our sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I don't have to have bulls and goats and everything else. I have the blood of the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God that has washed away my sins. The Bible says that it'll be no more remembered against me. Okay? So now, if we are believing in what the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Ready for this? If you're a Christian, if everything's kept, you're holy. You know why you're holy? Because you're a Christian. You're not holy because of you. You're holy because of Him. Amen? I'm not holy because of me, but I'm holy because of Him. That's it. His blood. That's how we're holy. It's not us. I know we have a tendency, Tommy, not to want to say that word that I'm holy. I know, we think of ourselves humbly, and that's fine, but if I've got everything under the blood, Jeremiah, and I'm a Christian, then I better be holy. That's just, it is what it is, folks, okay? We should be living holy lives. I believe in holiness. Oh, my gosh, ain't that a novel idea? I believe in holiness, okay? Now, do I believe all have sinned and come short of the glory? Absolutely. That's why we have an advocate with the Father, a mediator, when we do those things. Amen? If we'll confess our sins openly, He's just and faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what the Bible says. So he's thought of it all. He's so good. It is finished, covered it all. But just as I believe we're supposed to be holy, I believe if we're going to grow in the Lord and have guaranteed spiritual growth, we can't act certain ways. Okay? We can't do certain things. We can't allow certain things in our temple. Malice is one of it. Peter says, if you want to grow, lay aside all malice. Okay? Is that hard? Might be. It's hard of our own doing. And the Bible says if we don't walk in the Spirit, we will fulfill the lust of the flesh. And one of the lusts of the flesh is malice. So the only way we're going to not walk in malice, the only way we're going to be able to lay malice aside is how to walk in the Spirit. It's that simple, folks. It's that simple. Sister?
For somebody that may not know what malice is,
can you tell us what malice is? Sure. Let's go to the old concordance. I'm glad you said that. Let me pull that up here. Because I don't want to give you my definition. I want to see what this says right here. First Peter. Chapter 2, verse 1. And we are down here. Well, hold on, Z. Being stubborn. Okay, there it is. Got fat fingers. Okay. It is the Greek word meaning badness, depravity, malignity, trouble, evil, naughtiness, wickedness. That's pretty straightforward there. So to be malice means literally trouble, evil, naughtiness, wickedness. So laying aside all of those things. Okay, now, ready for this? If you have not laid those things down, are you holy? Not exactly, right? But the greater thing is this. If we are walking where we're supposed to be with the Lord, and I know we've got a lot of younger Christians that are starting to come to the church, and that's really what this teaching, I believe, was aimed toward. But if we're doing those things and we're growing in grace and we're growing in knowledge and we're studying the Word and we're doing what we're being transformed, then it should be a natural thing that we drop off the luggage of malice. We shouldn't carry that up 14 flights of steps. Last year we took Wyatt to Concord University, and when he moved back in, and that comes up next Saturday, Lord willing, he does it again for his final semester. Praise God, he'll be graduating in December. But last year we took him, and if you've ever been in any college move-in days, God bless you. You know what I'm talking about. There's one elevator, or two, right beside each other. And everybody's trying to do the same thing you are on the same exact day at the same exact time. And Wyatt was on the seventh floor. And we packed stuff, did we not, Tara? Up seven flights of stairs, because the elevator was back plumb out to the parking lot for people waiting. And can I tell you something right now? You didn't have to ask me when I got up there if I was tired. You could tell by my breath. You could tell by packing things up them steps. I was a little wore out, Tommy. So in other words, I was packing things that made me more tired, that exhausted me. Can I tell you something? Walking up those steps empty was a whole lot easier than walking up with a small refrigerator on my back. Amen? Can I tell you something right now? We are to lay aside things that hold us back. Okay? It's a lot easier to walk those steps. Every single one of us is going to have to walk those steps. We're in life. Amen? It's going to rain on the just as well as the unjust. But it's up to us whether or not we pack the refrigerator up or not. Okay? What the Bible is telling us here is we need to lay aside these things that so easily beset us. Okay? And malice is one of them. If we want to grow in the Lord, we can't act that way no more. We can't handle our way that no more. We can't think that way no more, Vicki. I can't hate that person.
You don't know what she did to me.
Oh, I know. You don't. If you knew what she did to me. All right.
You know what she did to me, you'd be
mad too.
Right.
Only 40 years ago.
She been dead.
She been dead. Right. Yep. Just celebrating. Happy anniversary, by the way. 40 years. Everybody give them a hand clap there. Lisa and Tim. 40 years. But that would be like Lisa still complaining about what somebody got her for her household share 40 years ago. Right? Amen. But you don't know. You don't know. You don't understand. You ain't in my shoes. You don't know. For one, what we would say for that is, obviously, they have not extended grace. So before they can lay aside, before they can move on to that part, they've not extended grace and they've not been transformed. Okay? That is what it is, folks. Listen, we have a hard time in this, I guess it's been seeker sensitive. I guess you could call it that. Yeah, okay, I'll go ahead and say it straight. We have a tendency to want to sugarcoat things in our society today. Okay? Sugarcoat. Okay? Can I tell you something right now? If you don't act like a Christian and you don't look like a Christian, you ain't a Christian. What's it say to you? It's just the way it is. I just believe that. If you're where you're supposed to be with Christ, you will act different. You will look different. Not because of who you are, but because of who He is. It's impossible to have a collision course with the Son of God and not be changed. Ask Simon of Cyrene. Think about that. His sons knew who Jesus was. Okay? His sons knew who Jesus was. Bible mentions him in the book of Mark. Okay, his sons knew who he was. The only way his sons would have knew who he was is if his daddy told him about him. Son, you wasn't there that day. But when I looked into his eyes, I saw something. I felt something. I experienced something. If you have that collision with Jesus, you're not going to have that problem of holding on to that malice. Holding on to those things that do nothing but hold us back. Okay? Growth is intended to be natural. Holding on to baggage is not natural. Okay? How many of you ever went to Walmart and tried to make one trip? We all do it. Listen, I have even taken my belt off and wrapped every bag in the trunk around my back and held it. And all the way in, I went like Santa Claus on Christmas Eve to make one trip. I've done that before. But can I tell you, it's heavy. It's hard. And 9 times out of 10, one of the bags is going to bust and you're going to have damage on the way. Okay? But we're stubborn and we think we can do that. We can fulfill our will in those ways. But that's not God's intention. We are to lay aside malice. Okay? Lay it aside. Don't let it hold on to you. Lay it aside, it says. And all guile and hypocrisies. Oh, man, oh, man. Hypocrisy. Are you ready for this? Jesus never scolded the sinner. but he sure had a lot to say about the hypocrites. Think about that. He never scolded the woman who had had five husbands and who was living with somebody when he met her. Think about that. As Pat preached, I don't know if you guys caught that last week, but Pat was preaching last week, and I really enjoyed how he brought that out, how the seventh man changed her. It's what he said. She'd been married five times. She was living with one, but she met the seventh at the well. And the seventh man changed her. Amen? And I loved how he brought that out. I don't know if you guys caught that or not. But Jesus is the one that changes us. And hypocrisies, we're to lay aside hypocrisies. How do you lay aside hypocrisy? Your word matters. My word matters. I am what I say I am. I do what I say I'll do. Okay? A hypocrite, it means an actor. Somebody that puts a mask on and it acts. That's a hypocrite, okay? So in other words, you're not supposed to say one thing and act another. Amen? If you come to church on Sunday and you profess to be a Christian, then we need to act like a Christian. Okay? If someone says that they're a Christian and they don't do what the Bible says for them to do, ready for this? The Bible calls them a liar and the truth ain't in them. I can't believe you said that. That's what it says. See, we want to grab a hold of the verses that make us feel good and fuzzy sometimes, and we don't want to grab the whole thing. Okay? That's just the truth, folks. If you're a hypocrite, Jesus will scold you. Okay? Ask the Pharisees. He never called the woman at the well by a bad name, but he called them, ready for this? Vipers. Said they were like white-walled sepulchers. Outwardly they were beautiful and clean, but inwardly they were full of dead men's bones. That's what he said. In other words, you look good to the public, but I know what you really are. What about some of the churches in the book of Revelation? You may look like a church, but he told them to repent, or I come and take your candlestick. So in other words, there's a expectation that we have to live up to, folks. If we want to grow in grace and knowledge, we cannot hold on to malice with other people. We can't be evil, wicked. We can't do that. We can't speak like we used to speak, handle language like we used to handle, and then try to win them to Christ in the next revival coming through. It don't work that way, folks. That's just not the way it is. If we're going to grow in grace and knowledge and be transformed, then there needs to be a little bit of fruit on that tree. Amen? And it says, all and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speakings. Woo! Envy. Let's start with there. Envy. Old Testament would call it coveting. Envy, coveting. Pretty close to the same. Why would you be envious of somebody? Think about it. Think about it. Would the Lord have you to be envy of anybody? So if you're envy, where's that coming from? The devil. The devil. If Brother Terry is blessed with something, praise God for it. Praise the Lord, Brother Terry. I rejoice with you. Brother, why would I be envious of it? Because I ain't got one? Well, Lord, you gave it to Terry. Why don't you give it to me? There you go. Be content. Amen. 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 That's exactly right. And your Heavenly Father knows what you got need of. He'll make sure you have it. Amen. But to lay aside all evil, ready? All evil speakings. All evil speakings. Now I'm slowing down on this one. All evil speakings. No gossip. No gossip. No gossip. No gossip. That's evil speaking. Gossip is evil speaking. Right, right. Right. I love Pearl. Yeah, yeah. But the Bible says we're to lay aside all evil speaking, so gossip is included into that. Okay? I've heard this said before. I'm not saying I know anybody like this. Let me make that plain. plain, 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 plain. Let me make that plain, okay? But years ago, you had holiness that really invaded the church, and you had skirts that was down to the ankles, but for some women, their tongue was down to their ankle too. Because they like to gossip. Okay? Now, you ready for this? You can't have one and not and then just cast the other one, okay? One's okay, but we got to do this. Okay? In other words, gossip is not good. And all evil speakings. Gossip is just not the only thing. All evil speaking. So, in other words, man, Jeremiah just gets under my skin. That's evil speaking. He don't. I just use him as an example because I know he wouldn't be mad. But still, all evil speaking, anything that puts somebody down, hurts somebody, why would you want to talk about it? Are you ready for this? Why talk about anything that you wouldn't talk to them face-to-face about? If you couldn't talk to them face-to-face about it, you need to exit that conversation. Plain and simple. Plain and simple, because ready for this? Oh, now, this is big now. This is a big one. We are going to give account for every idle word given in this life. Every idle word is going to come up in the day of judgment. Ready for this? I'll say it this way. As a recommendation or a condemnation. That is it. We're going to give account for every idle word. So if we're to grow in grace and knowledge, and if we're to be transformed, and we're laying aside wickedness and hypocrisies and evil speakings, okay? And he goes on, he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So in other words, ready for this? As newborn Christians who desire the milk, okay, that we may grow thereby. So in other words, if each one of us will take will first take inventory. I know I got to land this plane. If we'll take inventory, I think that's the first thing you need to do if you've been walking with the Lord for a while. Take inventory. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Okay, we talked about that on Wednesday night. Ask the Holy Spirit. Search my heart, Lord. There you go. Search my heart, Lord. If I have offended a brother or sister, make it known to me, Lord, that I may make it right with them. Search me, Lord. I want to be holy. I want to be pure. I want to be like you. I want to be pleasing to you. You are my master. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You died on the cross for my sins. And I want to look like you. He answers prayers. He takes care of our families. He's worthy of all that we can give him, folks. Do you understand that? There's people right now that would love to be able to come to church. That would physically be able to come to church, Christians, and they can't come to church because they're bedfast or something like that. God woke you up this morning. You are blessed. You are here today. He is so worthy of our praise and our honor and our glory. Listen, folks, one of these days he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He died as a spotless Lamb of God so that we could become the righteousness of God. Think about that. He that knew no sin becomes sin that we could become the righteousness of God. But we are to grow in grace and knowledge. We're to extend it to our brothers and sisters. We're to get our nose in the Word of God. We're to come to all those things, come to church, worship, all those things, okay? But it don't do a bit of good if we don't lay aside certain things, okay? So in other words, you got to practice what you preach. Jesus said it this way, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I'm going to tell you what my daddy would say. Son, talks cheap. Talks cheap, okay? So if you're really a Christian, you're not going to be malice. You're not going to be envious. If you see envy creeping in your life, you need to take care of it. If you in any way, shape, or form seem to be a hypocrite, you need to take care of it. You need to spend more time at the cross, folks. If you're handling talk that you shouldn't be handling, you better back away from that. What's the Bible say about the tongue? It's life and death in the tongue, and you're going to eat the fruit thereof. That's what it says. If I'm speaking ill of Pearl, then I'm eating some pretty bad fruit. I don't know about you guys, but I don't like eating rotten fruit. Anybody like to eat rotten fruit? I don't want rotten fruit. I want good, clean, healthy, fresh fruit if I'm going to eat fruit. I don't want to eat a moldy strawberry. I don't want a rotten tomato. I want a nice green fried tomato, Tommy, is what I want. That's what I want. I love tomatoes either way you make it. But we are to grow in grace and knowledge, folks, so that we can extend it to people. Jesus has called each of us into something, and that's to make a difference in the world. And the only way we make a difference in the world is we become more like Him. Because I've done lived my life and know that outside of Him, I can't make a difference in nothing. I make nothing but a failure and get people mad, and I handle bad language, and I'm envious, and I got malice and all those things. I'm not who I'm supposed to be, Teresa, outside of Him. I've done lived that life, and I know that I can't do it without Him. So let us take inventory, each one of us. I encourage you, take inventory. First thing, take inventory. If you want guaranteed spiritual growth, you'll take inventory. You'll ask the Holy Spirit to show you where you're coming up short. He'll do that. I'm telling you, He'll do it. And if you'll listen to Him every single day, if you'll go to Him in prayer, go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to do a work in you, He'll sanctify you. He'll consecrate you. He'll do those things. He'll pull you out of situations you ain't supposed to be in. He'll tell you to walk away from people that maybe in your life are holding you back. And listen, you better listen to Him and not them. You'll drop that evil talk. You'll drop the cuss words and stuff like that. That won't be who you are no more. Are you ready for this? When you do those things, everybody else that's around you will notice it. Even those people that maybe used to go to the bars with or used to sit outside the break room at work, and talked about the boss. Oh, it got quiet. They'll realize it. You know what? They've got something I don't have. And when they need prayer, you're the one they're going to come to. Because you look more like Jesus to them than anybody else in the world. Listen, folks, let us grow in grace and knowledge. That's what God wants us to do. And if we'll do that, ready for this? It'll be well-pleasing to Him. And all I want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things.